why change, though? You got a phone. Pick it up. Call me.
How come we don't even talk no more? And you don't even call no more? We don't barely keep in touch at all. And I don't even feel the same love when we hug no more. And I heard it through the grapevine, we even beefing now. After all the years we've been down, ain't no way, no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family, and a damn thing changed.
Kauf at the Kauf, man. It is no holds barred. Today's program, we're bringing the heat. We are bringing the fire. On the program today, we've got AFL football. Carlton, North Melbourne last week. What did the Blues dish up? Absolutely embarrassing. We've got ATP Tour Tennis. Finals in Estoril and Munich. As we head to the Madrid Masters 1000 this week from Spain. Champions League action. Liverpool versus Barcelona. What the heck went on there at Anfield in another incredible night? And we've got the NBA playoffs. The Celtics crash out yesterday. Today it's Raptors versus Philly and the Nuggets versus Blazers. And what's going to go on with Kevin Durant's calf injury? It's all here today on No Holds Barred.
First to be on, spitting the verse on my own. Room with a deal, but shit got worse. So I came out, I would have killed the nigga first. Before I let him disrespect me or check me over some worse. Some bitch that I wasn't with, I would hit her to quit. But you were bring a talk with her and tell her she was the shit. I told you no getting hard, but you were smoking the car.
My eyes in a bucket to catch every tear I cried inside it. You even had the same type of time.
Yes, we are here in the studio. No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. Your host, Jade Kauf at the Kauf Man. And what an action-packed week it has been in sports on today's program. We've got it all. We've got Australian rules football. We've got a bit to talk about a couple of teams that are making headlines for all the wrong reasons. We've got ATP tennis. Over in Europe, the clay courts continue, and it's the Greek sensation Tsitsipas with another title win, and a bit of an upset in Munich. We're going to talk about that. Also, Madrid 1000 getting underway. Roger Federer back in action. We're talking Champions League action, the European Cup semi-finals, Liverpool, Barcelona, Ajax and Tottenham, and we've got the NBA playoffs, the Celtics crashing out. We're also going to bring you action from the Raptors and the 76ers, the Nuggets and Blazers, and the Warriors and Rockets series has taken a turn with Kevin Durant looking like he's out for the rest of that series. We'll get more to you about that, about his calf injury. But we're starting today's program. We're talking AFL football and Carlton v North Melbourne last week. We want to talk about this matchup. I spoke on last week's show about North Melbourne and their terrible start to the season and Brad Scott being under fire, their club under fire. A lot of people had a lot to say. And they took on Carlton last weekend and the Blues, they have been much improved this year, but they turned on an absolute stinker, an embarrassing performance from the Blues, from Carlton Football Club. And had a feeling going into this that this was predictable. And the writing was on the wall with a couple of key outs for the Blues with Mitch McGovern, their star recruit, who was out with a soft tissue strain. Big Matthew Cruiser, their ruckman. Nick Newman, their tough, nuggety backman that has come across, and Cade Simpson, the legendary veteran halfback flanker. So the writing was on the wall, and gee whiz, didn't they crash back down to earth, the Blues? They showed absolutely limited effort. There was no hard work put in on the day whatsoever, and they were basically outworked by a North Melbourne outfit that we spoke about on last week's episode, that they are an insipid team and organisation. And they had a lot of young players in there that were very, very inexperienced, that played most of their football in the VFL, in the basically in the reserves team. And it was all one-way traffic from the outset. The Blues, they looked slow, they looked disinterested. And with Big Matthew Cruiser, this is the frustrating thing with a guy like Cruiser. He, as we know, he was a number one draft pick about a decade ago. But this guy is just always injured, as he's had no durability whatsoever throughout through his career thus far. And he's the type of player that plays two games, misses four or five. Probably only averages, I'd like to see what he averages over his career. I'd say he probably only averages about 13 to 14 games over a 10 year career. And it's frustrating because he brings so much to the team. They're a much, much better outfit with Cruiser in the lineup. When he's not in, they are absolutely ordinary. And they were again on the weekend. Mitch McGovern, who has showed glimpses since coming across from Adelaide, yet to really break out. He's teased the Carlton fans with some good stuff, but yet to break a game open. So he was always going to be a big miss. Nick Newman's been good, the trusty left footer, who's really shoring up the back line. He looks like he's going to be a good find. But with him out, and Simpson as well, those two play a similar role. And the Blues were giving up a lot of leadership there. Charlie Curnow as well. This guy had a bruised knee from earlier on in the year. He's been trying to find his way back. He didn't impact at all. The only one that really continues to shine week in, week out is, that beast in the middle, Big Patrick Cripps. This guy's been an absolute revelation. And he once again led from the front, but just lacked any kind of support from his troops. Big Harry McKay, real quiet game. He's his biggest stinker thus far. He's been a bit of a shining light for the Blues. But it was with those four players out, the Blues really lacked any kind of leadership or spirit at all. And the barrel is well and truly back on Coach Brendan Bolton. And it seems like he just cannot escape the limelight for the wrong reasons. And with Carlton sitting down on the bottom of the ladder once again, pressure is mounting. The only thing that stops that pressure from mounting are wins. And we mentioned that last week in regards to the Brad Scott situation at North Melbourne. So the script has been flipped, ladies and gentlemen. And North Melbourne leapfrogged Carlton. And now it's Carlton after a absolutely diabolical performance, as I mentioned, where this week they take on the high-flying Collingwood, who are absolutely loaded. The Magpies list, they have got stars galore. And with Nathan Buckley in career best form from the coaching box, the Blues have really got their work cut out. They are getting Cruiser back this week. Mitch McGovern is back in action. And Will Setterfield is back as well. Not too sure how much that is, how much of a gain that is for the Blues. Will Setterfield yet to probably really impact, he needs to step up and impact. Do we find himself back in the VFL as well? Couple of big outs for Collingwood this week, Dane Beams and Taylor Adams. So that is definitely going to help the Blues there. Those two are a couple of marquee Magpies that are very damaging through the middle of the ground. But, Carlton Football Club, the onus is, and the barrel is well and truly on you. It is time to really bounce back from that embarrassing performance. The week before against the Hawks, the Blues led by 6 goals at halftime and were a couple of goals away in the third quarter to really burying the Hawks. Couldn't do it. Their third quarter was what like what they dished up against North Melbourne for the four quarters on the weekend. Absolutely embarrassing. Looked like they didn't have a hunger for the contest. Were very, very passive. Weren't aggressive enough. Were second to the ball. And just looked like a deer in headlights. And for four quarters against North Melbourne, that's what they dished up. Absolutely not good enough. Fans are all right. The media are all over them, and rightly so. This week, they need to bounce back. Otherwise, it's the same old controversy down there in Carlton Town, and it needs to happen now, and it needs to happen quick. The excuses have got to stop. Charlie Curnow, you need to fire, and Mitch McGovern, you need to chip in this week, and Mark Murphy, there's another one. Mark Murphy, time for you to really break a game open and stop getting easy kicks. And they all need to chip in this week, otherwise they'll find themselves on the wrong end of an absolute slaughter from the high-flying Magpies, who I believe are second on the ladder, and they look like they are going to have a big say towards the back end of September when it really matters. Up next on No Holds Barred, we're going to talk about the showdown, Port Adelaide versus Adelaide. There's a couple of players I want to talk about there. This one, these two, very, very close on the ladder. This one should be an absolute beauty. We'll come back after the break. We will break that one down. And then we're going to move on to some ATP Tour tennis, Estoril Munich and the Madrid 1000 underway with Roger Federer back in action. This is Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. This is No Holds Barred. We're back. No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. And this week, the showdown from Adelaide, Port Power, Port Adelaide versus Adelaide. This one should be a beauty. We've got 6th versus 7th on the ladder. These two are only separated by percentage, and this one should be fierce. This one is not to be missed, and one of the better rivalries out there, one of the more heated rivalries, and they've had some absolute crackers over the last couple that these two have come up against. It really lives up to expectations, this one, and I will not be missing it, that's for sure. And big out for Port Adelaide with Ollie Wines out with a leg injury, their captain, and that's going to be a big out there for Port as they lock horns with the Crows. And Adelaide have got a couple of wins here the last couple of weeks. They did look pretty patchy early on in the season in the first couple of rounds. And maybe this week we can possibly get a Tex Walker sighting. This guy really, I thought, was lucky to hold his place in the side after the first two or three rounds. And he still is in a captain's role there with Rory Sloane. I think that was the only thing that was really holding him in that senior side. Now, there have been quite a few pundits out there that think that that is a bit harsh. But, hey, look, Tex gets a pretty good run at it, if we're going to really talk truth out there. And he seems to get accolades for average games that he plays. And I don't understand it. He's not the only one. There are players at other clubs that seem to get a bit of a free pass. And it's quite obvious who those players are. We're not going to get into that right now. We are talking about the showdown, Port Adelaide and Adelaide. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Tex can really bust a game wide open. I can't remember the last time that he really that he really did that. And I think those days are over for Walker. He doesn't move like he used to move. He seems to lack elevation now. When the big men are needed to fly, and unless the ball is really absolutely laces out with him streaming out, he really struggles. He struggles to bend over, pick the ball up, and I think he's a little bit top heavy, a little bit top heavier than what he used to be, and I think the writing is well and fully on the wall for Tex Walker, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes this week in this game where it's not going to be hotter than this week over in Adelaide until it's going to be a finals-like atmosphere, and the eyes will be well and truly locked into this one here. It should be an absolute beauty, and my pick is Port Power to win this one in a tight one, but looking to this one to be really, really one of the better rounds, better games of the round. Port Adelaide and Adelaide should be a beauty. Up next, we are going to segue onto the ATP Tennis Tour, where we had events in Estoril and Munich, and the Madrid 1000 got underway. This is the Kolf Man. We'll be back after this break at No Holds Barred.
Dev Jam, Big Rashad, Baby Chris, Sean, Rob Holmes.
Yeah, Tex Walker. He's just not the same player anymore. He's not. Can't pick the ball up. The ball hits the deck. Can't remember the last time he took a pack mark. Be a big test this week for Adelaide Crows and Tex Walker. ATP Tour Tennis here at the No Holds Barred Sport Podcast. The clay court season is well and truly underway, and the tour was in, where was it last week? Portugal. It was in Portugal last week, the Estoril 250, and bit of tour tennis in Germany as well with the Munich 250 there. And in Estoril, it was that young Greek sensation again, Tsitsipas, getting the title in straight sets. And in Munich, it was Christian Garin from Chile over the Italian Berrettini. But we'll start in Estoril, and Tsitsipas, he took out Pablo Cuevas in the final. A tough match on clay there, and a second set going to a tiebreaker, but it was the Greek wonder kid who was able to close the deal. And a good win for Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas's first win on clay on the main ATP Tour. And up against Cuevas, he's a seasoned campaigner on the clay. One of the better clay court players in the world is Cuevas. He's a strong tour pro. And Tsitsipas, who has moved into the top 10 in the world over the last couple of months, and a nice little win there for Stefanos Tsitsipas in Estoril. Little 250 event, but that'll give him great confidence heading into the French Open, and he's taking his place at the Madrid 1000 this week. We'll get to that here soon. And Tsitsipas, look, he is really knocking on the door. He's athletic, he's lean, got a beautiful one-handed backhand. He's a great mover, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes in the bigger events on the clay courts moving forward when he takes on the bigger, stronger players, the Nadals of the world, the Dominic Thiems, the Novak Djokovic's. See how he goes on the slow red clay of Europe. We know how he goes on a hard court. He's been impressive on that surface from January this year. And I did see Tsitsipas live in Melbourne last year at the Australian Open, and he has from last year at the Open to 2019 in those 12 months, you could see that he was a difference player, both confidence wise and with his game as well. He made the semi-finals in Australia, and he has two titles to his name this year on the main ATP Tour. Stefanos Tsitsipas is one to look out for at the Madrid 1000 this week and in France, in Paris, as the French Open gets underway. I'll be keen to see how he does against the absolute titans of the game on the slow red clay. And we'll bring it to you here at No Holds Barred. While that was going on, while Tsitsipas was taking care of business over Pablo Cuevas in Portugal, over in Munich, in Germany, it was Christian Garin of Chile, the 22-year-old, over the Italian youngster Berrettini to take the title. And what a week from Christian Garin. Had wins over Diego Schwartzman. He took out Alexander Zverev in the next one in three sets, and then took care of Marco Cecchinato of Italy as well, the French Open semi-finalist from last year. And what a week for Garin. I saw Garin, I believe I saw him in Melbourne on the outside courts in Melbourne this year, and he looked totally out of his element, lost on the hard court that day that I saw him here in January. But clay court tennis is a different beast, and that's what he loves growing up in South America on the slow red clay. And I believe he took out his first ATP Tour title. And what a win, as I said, with wins over Schwartzman, Zverev and Cecchinato. Christian Garin moves into the top 40 in the world, and will be interesting to see how he goes in Paris, if he can continue that form. As this week, the tour moves to the Madrid 1000, and it's Roger Federer is back on deck in Madrid, his first clay court event of the season. And the draw came out here for the Madrid 1000, and it was an incredibly tough draw for Roger. Listen to this. Listen to these names here. Roger, to win the event, Richard Gasquet, round one. Round two, possible matchup with Gael Monfils. In the quarterfinals, Dominic Thiem, who beat Roger in, I believe it was Indian Wells, in the final there. And Dominic Thiem, who won in Barcelona, the Barcelona 500 just last week, one of the best clay quarters in the world. That was the quarterfinal. Possible semi-final is against Rafael, Novak Djokovic, and then possible final against Nadal. So Gasquet, Monfils, Thiem, Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal. Now, welcome back to the tour, Roger, after his win in Miami over John Isner. That is what he has to look forward to. Now, as this episode goes to air, his first two, he has passed the test. He beat Richard Gasquet comfortably, 6-2, 6-3. Looked fantastic, but last night struggled to get past Monfils. It was tough conditions out there on the center court. It was blowing a gale. It was quite windy. And Roger, after a blistering first set, which he took out 6-love, he looked unsettled after that, and he was down two match points deep in the third set. He was down 4-1 in the third against Monfils, but somehow Federer found a way and scraped it out in a third set tiebreaker. He started coming to the net, attacking, but he looked uncomfortable from the back of the court, but he found a way, and in just over a few hours, he is going to lock horns with the Austrian Dominic Thiem in a bash and crash quarterfinal. So looking forward to that one there. But Federer, he's passed the first two. It goes up a gear tonight as he takes on Dominic Thiem, the winner in Barcelona, the Barcelona 500, just last week as well. Rafa Nadal back in action. He's taking on Stanley Wawrinka, which should be a good one as well. Wawrinka successful last night against the Japanese champion, Kei Nishikori. So Nadal, Wawrinka, that's a mouth-watering matchup. And Novak Djokovic has already moved through in the top half of the draw with Marin Cilic withdrawing from that quarterfinal there. We're not sure what that one was all about. We'll bring it to you when we find out if that comes through on the no-holds barred feed. But so the Madrid 1000 this week, the big guns are all there. And as things are all eyes really on Federer this week and Nadal to see how Federer can handle his first event back from joining the tour. And Nadal, who has had his battles in the during this clay court season, he hasn't been as dominant as what he normally is. There are whispers that knee tendonitis is playing up, but he's looking to get some match wins and get some confidence to going into his beloved French Open, where he will start favourite once again. And tonight he plays Wawrinka, which should be an absolute beauty as well. We'll be bringing you all these results from the Madrid 1000 on the next episode here at No Holds Barred, which will take place in a little over 48 hours with our Sunday edition here in a couple of days. We'll bring you all the action then. Coming up next, we are going to talk Liverpool versus Barcelona and Tottenham Hotspurs versus Ajax in the Champions League, the European Cup. What the heck went on there at Anfield? What a comeback from the Reds. They have done it again. And Messi and Barcelona go back to the drawing board, an absolute heartbreaker. We'll bring it all to you here on No Holds Barred. This is Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man.
Do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back. Come on. I said my niggas don't dance, we just pull up our pants and do the rock away. Now lean back. This is why I sport the chinchilla, hurt their feelings. You can find your crack at all type of shit. How the Vegas...
We are back. No Holds Barred. Sports podcast. Action-packed show so far. Plenty going on in the sports world. And we have got a couple of action-packed episodes really coming up, as there's all kinds of sport going on. AFL football, ATP tennis, NBA playoffs, and Champions League football, which is what we're going to talk about now. Two matches midweek, the semi-finals of the European Cup, or the Champions League, if that's what you know it by. And the first leg for Liverpool-Barcelona saw Barcelona with a 3-0 lead, and it was Lionel Messi who was the difference maker over there in Spain. An outrageous free kick, one of the goals that he scored. And when that free kick went in top corner, you could just about put the dagger through Liverpool, 3-0 down after the first leg in Spain. And as they came back to Anfield, they were without Mohamed Salah and Roberto Firmino through injury. They're arguably two of their most important players, or their best players, in their attacking strike force, with Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino, and Mo Salah. Jurgen Klopp has one of the most lethal strike forces in the land, and he gets the absolute best out of him with the system that he runs. But with Firmino out with a muscle tear and Salah with, I believe it was a concussion, things looked absolutely dire for the Reds as they came back to Anfield. But It is a place of dreams. Anfield, and there's been some very special European nights over the years during their five Champions League or European Cup titles. And they needed to score early on, did Liverpool, and they got just what they were after as they scored in the seventh minute. It was Divock Origi on a putback after Henderson had a shot. The ball was parried, and it was Origi who was on the end of it, and Liverpool got the start, just the start that they needed, and it provided them with some kind of hope, even though they were still well behind the eight ball. And they it was Origi, as I said, the man who came into the starting lineup for Roberto Firmino. And play continued 3-1 at the half. And with Robinson, the defender Robinson, going down with a with an injury, Jurgen Klopp brought on his Dutchman, Jorginho Wijnaldum. And it was Trent Alexander-Arnold, the young 20-year-old, the local prodigy. He looks like he's a future captain of the club. He's Trent Alexander-Arnold, 20 years of age. He whipped the ball in low. The ball came through the box, and it was Wijnaldum on the end of it. And he crushed a ball, which probably should have been saved from the keeper. But the ball trickled in, and before you knew it, it was 3-2. In the 54th minute, and there was life in the second leg. And just as things were settling down at Anfield and people were getting back into rhythm after the chaos, it was ball was whipped in by Shaqiri over on the left side, and it was that man again, Jorginho Wijnaldum, with an outrageous header which flew into the top corner. And before he knew it, it was 3-3, and Anfield had come alive. It was going, it was absolute chaos in there. Lionel Messi had a look on his face. He couldn't believe what had happened. Luis Suarez, who used to play at Liverpool, he was absolutely stunned. And Barcelona could not believe that they had given up a 3-goal lead, and all of a sudden they were vulnerable. And they were on... they were on the back on their back heels, and people really just couldn't believe what they were seeing. It was absolute pandemonium. The tie had been really turned on its head, and as play continued, and we're heading into really looking like you're heading into extra time, it was that man again, Trent Alexander-Arnold, who won a corner in the 78th minute, and He put the ball on the spot in the corner, and he was going to concede and give the corner, let Shaqiri come in and whip it in with his left foot. But incredible awareness from the young 20-year-old sensation, and he saw that Barcelona were caught napping. Defensively, they weren't switched on. They weren't locked in mentally, and Origi was all by himself in the middle of the box. Alexander-Arnold, in a flash, ran instead of just letting Shaqiri take the corner, he switched back into action, run back, whipped the ball in low and fast with plenty of hook on it, and it was Origi who got his boot to ball, and the ball flew in top left-hand corner, and before you knew it, Liverpool led 4-3, and Barcelona were absolutely stunned. It was total chaos throughout the entire arena, and you just had to see it to believe it. It was absolutely outrageous what was going on. And, you know, the last 12 minutes of this contest was really, about Liverpool really holding on. Virgil van Dijk was an absolute rock down back. Fabinho, the Brazilian midfielder, who's been a new addition to the Liverpool squad this year, he was an absolute titan in the middle, doing absolutely everything through there. He has had a couple of outstanding games this year for Liverpool when it's really mattered. He really reminds me of a little bit of he's got a bit of Patrick Vieira about him, the former Arsenal superstar. And Fabinho, what a performance from him, and what a miracle that Liverpool pulled off. in this one here, as the final whistle went, and it was Liverpool on top, 4-0 at Anfield, which gave them the 4-3 win on aggregate. It truly has gone down as the greatest night in Liverpool history in the European Cup competition, and Barcelona crashed out of the Champions League for the second year running after holding an absolutely massive, massive lead. And Jurgen Klopp was really lost for words after this one. And, you know, do you blame him? There were tears. James Milner was in tears. Some of the older players there at Liverpool, they couldn't believe what had gone on. And so much emotion wrapped up in that arena. And this famous, famous club move on to the Champions League final for the second year running. It was a special, special night and something that had to be seen to believed. Up next, we're talking about semi-final number two. It was Tottenham Hotspurs and Ajax. And just when you thought that you'd seen it all, there was another incredible finish to round out this one over in Holland. We'll bring it to you after the break. This is Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. This is the No Holds Barred Sports Podcast.
Next, we have a very, very big group by the name of... I like this community.
From SP to Casio, your jazz ain't deaf, you ain't fresh, so. If you don't know us by now, you never know.
Trent Alexander-Arnold. Mate, special player is young Trent. Just whips balls in, kind of like Steven Gerrard. Yep, you're captain Liverpool. What an effort. What a genius move with that corner. We are back. No holds barred. Back in the studio. We're talking Champions League football. Two incredible matches midweek. We've just been over the Liverpool Great Escape against Barcelona. And it was another great escape with Tottenham Hotspurs and Ajax. Ajax went into London, got the 1-0 victory there. And not only that, back at home, scored in the 50th and the 35th minute to basically lead, 3-0 on aggregate. And they must have thought they had one leg or half their body into the final. And enter Lucas Moura of Tottenham Hotspurs, who scored three goals, and the last goal coming in the 96th minute. Can you believe it? A left foot strike that trickled into the bottom corner, and Ajax, they were left absolutely shell-shocked and stunned, and Tottenham somehow found a way to come back and win this tie. It really came down to, as the ball got whipped in deep, Ajax basically just needed to shut the ball down. They would have gone through if they had held on and had the 2-2 draw. They would have gone through on the away goals rule. And it was Moura who, the ball trickled onto the deck, and he sprung onto it, used his electrifying pace, and it was a left foot shot, as I said, and the keeper at full stretch couldn't stop it trickling into the net, and it was another miracle escape, this time from Tottenham, another English club to set up the Champions League final, Liverpool v Tottenham Hotspurs in Madrid in 3 weeks' time. An absolutely phenomenal week of Champions League football. And two English teams will be fighting it out for the ultimate prize in Europe in club football. Just an absolutely breathtaking week of soccer or European football, however you want to describe it. If you are a fan, you were blown away, and it is like something that you have never seen before at that stage of the Champions League. Two games like that, and commentators and fans alike have been talking about it ever since. And it started with the great escape, Liverpool's finest ever hour in at Anfield in a European tie. Putting Barcelona to the sword, winning 4-0 at Anfield. Absolutely breathtaking stuff. It was an absolute pleasure to see. Up next, we're at the back end of the show, and we are going to segue onto some NBA basketball. It's the playoffs. Absolute business end of the playoffs. And we are going to come back and talk about the Boston Celtics. They have crashed out of the playoffs. Kyrie Irving did not deliver. We're also going to talk about the Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. They are tied at 3-3. We're going to talk Nuggets and Blazers. They are tied at 3-3 also. And the Warriors and Rockets, it's 3-2 to the Warriors, but Kevin Durant looks like he's got a calf injury. That one could go seven as well. It's all going on NBA playoffs. We'll be back to break it down. This is No Holds Barred. We are back in the studio. No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. It's NBA playoffs time, and we have got plenty of action in the States. Celtics have crashed out of the NBA playoffs. They crash and burn, and the Milwaukee Bucks have moved on to the Eastern Conference Finals. A dominant display from the Bucks, a 4-1 win in the series. The Celtics jumped out in this series, won the first game, but they have looked an absolute rabble since. And it really turned out to be a mismatch this series. And the Milwaukee Bucks, who had the best record in the NBA during the regular season, are now taking this form into the playoffs. And they are for real, folks. They are absolutely for real. And they have crushed the Celtics. And Celtics have been a rabble for not only this series, but, you know, the majority of the season. They've got a lot of pieces there, a lot of championship roster, you would think. They brought on Kyrie Irving during the offseason, and it just has not worked out. And Irving has looked impatient throughout this series. He is terrible, in a terrible shooting slump. Again, shooting at around about 30% from the field, and a lot of isolation plays, not much ball movement from the Boston Celtics. And they have lacked leadership, and they are out. And Coach Brad Stevens, back to the drawing board for him. And he looked like a coach devoid of any kind of confidence or direction whatsoever during his press conference. And the Milwaukee Bucks move on to the Eastern Conference playoffs. Now, a couple of things on this series. Jason Tatum, the second year forward out of Duke, he completely vanished in this series. Just completely vanished. And it has a lot to do with Kyrie Irving at the point guard position. The chemistry has not been there at all. You could see it from there are only a couple of instances throughout the season where the Celtics went on a bit of a run. They won 10 games during one stretch there, and you looked at it and thought, oh, they've figured it out. They're playing as a team, but it just hasn't worked out. It's been patchy all season long, and they have been completely exposed in these playoffs by a Bucks team that, led by Giannis, the MVP candidate, and Chris Middleton has had a heck of a series, and Eric Bledsoe as well. They are a legitimate team. These Bucks, they play together. They don't seem to have any egos or any problems with playing the team game. And the complete opposite can be said for the Celtics, who said they looked devoid of any leadership at all. Kyrie Irving looked like he was out there all for himself. And I think the Boston Celtics are happily packing Kyrie's bags at the end of this offseason, as he is a free agent. And there's all kinds of speculation that he'll move on to the New York Knicks. But who knows? It's all it's all speculation at this stage. But the Celtics, they are out of the 2019 NBA playoffs. So now we're going to segue on to the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors. This is a heck of a series, and they are tied at 3 games apiece after an easy win yesterday from the Philadelphia 76ers. And it's been Jimmy Butler that I think has been the catalyst of for the Philadelphia 76ers hanging around in this series. Joel Embiid had a big game three, but then he's gone missing for a few games. He lacks consistency, this big Embiid. He's an excitement machine when he's up and running, but he's injury prone. He's up and down. You never know what you're going to get. I think he has upwards of five or six treatments before every single game. So a lot of pressure on that big man's body. And I think, moving forward, they need to trade Embiid because of that durability factor that we often speak about on the show. He hasn't got it. He's been injury prone since he came into the league. But yesterday they figured it out. They sorted it out. Ben Simmons was dynamic. He got up and down the floor, and they basically led from start to finish. But it's 3-3 in the series. They head back to Toronto for a game 7. Kawhi Leonard has been an absolute beast for the Toronto Raptors, and I think they close out the series. And then we have a lot of questions to answer for the Philadelphia 76ers after this one. And, what do they do? Do they keep Jimmy Butler? Do they sign him to a long-term max contract? Tobias Harris is the other one in there as well. He wants max money. I don't think he is worth max money. Tobias is a nice player, don't get me wrong, but he's not a max player. He's really a number three or a number four, as he is on this team. I mean, this team is loaded, this Philadelphia team. But if they can't pull out this Game 7 win on the road, I think there's going to be a little bit of a fallout. I think moving forward, you keep Simmons and keep Butler, and then trade Embiid and bring in some quality. You will get, for big Joel Embiid, you'll get some teams that take the bait on that one, and you can bring in some world-class shooting around Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's a good fit in Philadelphia. He's got plenty of dog in him, plenty of alpha dog, and he's hard-nosed toughness from Jimmy Butler, but he can be emotional. He's going to want max money. Do they sign him in Philadelphia, or does he end up in LA with LeBron or in New York? Time will tell. It's going to be a fascinating scenario there. But Philadelphia were very, very impressive yesterday in a must-win situation. But can they get it done on the road in Toronto? So tough to win Game 7s on the road. I see Toronto getting the win in that one there. Kawhi Leonard, as I said, he's been an absolute beast in this series, and he is carrying and leading the Toronto Raptors as they look to move on to the conference finals to take on that Bucks outfit that is an absolute juggernaut at this stage of the game. Up next, we're going to wrap up the program. We're talking Nuggets Blazers and we're talking Kevin Durant and the Warriors as they look to really close out the series against the Rockets, but they're going to have to do it without their main dominant force in Kevin Durant as he looks like he's got an issue with the calf. Are they able to hold on? We'll wrap it up here at No Holds Barred. This is Jade Kolf at the Kolf Band. We'll be back after this break.
Drop down and get your eagle on, girl. Drop down.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving, crash and burn. Not easy to be the number one on a championship team, and a few of these players are finding that out. Kyrie come out, said he wanted his own team, left LeBron and Cleveland. Well, he got his wish, and he found out the hard way that it's not easy to mold it all together. You've just got to be careful with that. It's all about winning. And he's going on vacation starting now. Nuggets and Blazers, we are tied 3-3. Which one of these teams are going to go fishing early on in these playoffs? And it was CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard got the job done there in Portland, but we are going to head back to Denver for a Game 7, and what a performance from this Denver Nuggets outfit with Nikola Jokic in the middle. This guy, he's got to be, if he can get the job done there here in this Game 7 and the Nuggets win this series... This is an incredible performance from Big Jokic. He is carrying this team. They're a bunch of kids, bunch of youngsters, led by Big Jokic. And a 3-3. Who would have thought that the Nuggets could be heading to the Western Conference Finals to take on either the Warriors or the Rockets? But as I said before, you never would have expected this, but Jokic in the middle, he's at about 25 points a game, 12 rebounds and about 8.5 assists. Everything is running through him, and he's getting some support from Jamal Murray. They've got Millsap, he's a real seasoned pro, but those guys are good and getting the job done, but this is all about Jokic. It's really as simple as that. He is carrying this side, and you've really got to say that he's arguably the best big man, the best center in the league. And yeah, Lillard and McCollum and this Portland Trailblazers team, if they let this opportunity slip to move through to the Western Conference playoffs, that one's going to sting. Now, they've got to do it with another Game 7 win on the road. Very difficult to do. As we know, only the very, very, very best teams, championship teams, are generally able to get that done. And this has been a phenomenal series. There was a triple overtime, or it might have went four overtimes there in a game four, I believe it was. And it's been back and forth, and it's been, the skill set that Jokic has, he shoots threes, incredible passing big man, and the way he goes about it is a sight to behold, and it's been super, super impressive from big Nikolai Jokic and the Denver Nuggets, and Lillard, McCollum, they're a big-time shooting backcourt, and they're going to need their best performance to get the job done here in this Game 7. It's been a great series, but it's about to see really what goes down. Nuggets should start favourites in that game seven, and I expect them to go through. And you know, Jokic has been truly phenomenal, and well done to him and the Denver Nuggets. And it's been a great series. Whoever gets through in that series, take on the Warriors or the Rockets, which, you know, whichever team gets the win here are going to be the favourites to get through in the West. This has been what we expected the Western Conference Finals to be, but these guys have met earlier on. And Kevin Durant with his calf muscle, how long is he going to be out? That's the big question. He went up for a jump shot, came down, and they're calling it a strained calf. You'd think that he's going to be out for at least the rest of this series, where it sits 3-2 Warriors. They've got to go back to Houston for a game six. And look, the Rockets, the door has opened. Last year it was Chris Paul who went down, and a very important piece for the Houston Rockets, and the Warriors were able to get out of jail from 3-2 down. Now the shoe is on the other foot. Durant, who has been virtually unstoppable throughout these playoffs, he's going to be a big out. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry are going to have to get this done without Kevin Durant, the league's best scorer. And look, this is I think this game's going to go seven. Houston have got to win a game six there. Then they've got to go back and win game seven on the road. And just a fascinating series. But besides the Celtics and Bucks 4-1 really whitewash or blowout, you could say, each one of these series is possibly going to go seven games. And look, with James Harden, Chris Paul, PJ Tucker has been an absolute beast. He is he's out there. He's a big unit, providing some three-point shooting, hard-nosed defense. He's built like a linebacker, he's big Tucker. But Draymond Green's been huge in this series as well. He's performed well. Steph Curry's had his injury problems with a dislocated finger. But look, I expect this to go seven as well. I expect the Warriors to get through. I expect them to find a way. Thompson's been hot and cold, but they only need Thompson and Curry to be hot for one of these last two games, and I think they can get through. I think it's going to be tight right down to the end, and it's absolutely must watch. If you are an NBA hoops fan, you'll be glued to the rest of that series, and it is absolutely fascinating. And look, if the Houston Rockets can't get it done this year, then they'll be bitterly disappointed. They are absolutely obsessed with beating this Golden State Warriors outfit, and it's just been a great series. And I think the culmination of this series is going to go right down to the wire. And Durant, I think he's out for, look, at least this series. Well, I don't think we'll see him backed out there on the floor for the rest of for game six or game seven. If it is a calf injury, then that can take a while to heal. And I think if the Warriors get through, we may even be game one of the Western Conference Finals. He may even be absent in that as well. It may take some time, and they need to get him back, obviously, as soon as possible. But they need a fit Kevin Durant. They don't need him missing long stretches of games leading up to a possible repeat and NBA Finals appearance. We'll be back after this break to wrap up the show. It's been a huge one. It's had everything. It's had absolutely everything, and it's been a lot of fun bringing it to you. Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. This is the No Holds Barred Sports Podcast.
I'ma take you to the top. Yo, I'ma make it hot, baby, baby. Uh-huh. I'ma make it hot.
Hey, Kevin Durant. The question becomes, how long is he out? How long is he out? It was nothing in it, just a jump shot. He came down, running back down the floor. Lucky it wasn't an Achilles. That would have been lights out, an Achilles. You don't need that. But the Warriors, I still think they get it done without him. Iguodala, Thompson, Curry, Draymond Green, he's been big. I think they find a way in seven back at back home, and the Warriors will move on. Playoffs, it's all going on. Got to love it. Got to love this time of the year in the NBA. Well, that's it. What a show it's been at No Holds Barred. It's had the lot. We'll be back in about 48 hours for our Sunday show. We're going to give you the full wrap from the AFL competition. Let's see if Carlton can show some heart and see if they can be competitive against Collingwood. We've got the showdown, as I mentioned before. We'll be back talking about that, and we'll have a full wrap of ATP Tour tennis in Madrid. We'll be talking Nadal, Novak, Federer. How does he go in his return to clay? He's got a big one against Dominic Thiem. We'll bring you that. We will have some European football. We'll have some soccer, Premier League, Liverpool, Manchester City. We're down to the last game of the year, and it's been an exciting race. Liverpool, can they win the league for the first time in about 25 years? It's going to come down to the last game. It's going to be Man City or Liverpool. We'll bring you that. And we'll have more NBA playoffs stateside. We'll give you an update on the Raptors, Philly, Nuggets and Blazers, and the Warriors and Rockets as those series look to come to their conclusion. It's all there. We'll bring it to you here at No Holds Barred. Been a fantastic show. Hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure bringing it to you. This is Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. This is No Holds Barred. We will see you in a couple of days.
Omens are creep, slow when you sleep. Holes in the heat, put holes in your teeth. With the strength, it's the L-I-L-F-A-M-E. See a nigga dance, gave you a chance. Cause I blast a man, I'm in the room. He said he was strong. I have reason to believe he has some shit up his sleeve all alone. So fuck you, your honor. Check my persona. I'm struggling for all.